Grant Denyer now.
It's Grant Denyer.
For the Gold Logie this year.
Oh, my God. It's Grant Denyer.
And our mom, Shezzy Denyer.
She's really crazy.
It's all true. It's all true. The podcast with Grant and Shezzy Denyer.
Welcome to Grant and Shezzy. It's all true. God, I love their little delicious voices when they say, she's so crazy.
I have to object to the use of my kids saying that.
Why?
Because not everybody else needs to know that's how they feel about me.
Well, it's not my fault. I didn't look at me like I'm a guilty party just because I held my iPhone in front of their mouths while they told how they really feel about you.
It makes me think, you know that ad that comes on TV all the time? Demizen,
Demizen,
for when the kids are sneezing. And the mum's dancing around the lounge room looking like a crazy mum.
Yep.
And our kids sit there and they're like, Mom, that's so much like you.
It's because it is you. You do that. You do bounce off walls singing random songs. That is the essence of Shezzy.
Not lately.
It's good to have you here, though.
Oh, thank you.
Not you. I was talking to George.
Hey. Yeah. Grant and Shezzy, how are you?
George Sargent. Wow. Creator and pioneer of the podcast Combos with George. Check it out if you haven't seen it.
Did you see my little sneaky kind of add-in, a little plug for the show at the end of last episode?
I loved it.
Couldn't miss it. It was like a giant blinking light.
I felt like a bit of a wanker.
No, it was good. It was great.
I loved it. We need to get like a cha-ching sound whenever George
plugs himself.
Yeah, exactly.
We are in George's studio, which is a very flash setup.
It's really good. It just also happens to be his bedroom, but that doesn't mean that's any less flash is what we just made out.
That's right. Look, I've got the extensions going. It's okay. We're going to extend out that way. The bed will be out of the way.
Great.
We won't be walking straight through my room to get to the studio.
Bro, you've obviously got bigger ambitions for this podcast than we do.
Well,
pay for a renovation.
You know what? We could get a sponsor today. It could be Demizen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
For when the kids are sneezing. Yeah. I think the undies just draped over the lamp, creating that nice red glow in the room, is really setting the mood for me today, bro.
Oh, awesome. No, I did it just for you. I know you like the mood lighting.
It's good. It's just got me in the right zone.
It's great.
Perfect.
Okay. Last week, you made me finish before I was ready. Because let's face it.
People might not listen to this in weekly intervals. So just say last time.
Oh, last time. Right, last time. Sorry, I also should say, this is my disclaimer for this week, things don't come out of my mouth the way that I mean them to because I'm pregnant. I'm 16 weeks pregnant, 16.5 weeks pregnant. I don't even know if that's how people say it. And last week, I know, because I've listened back to a little bit, and I said I was really loose. And that was not what I meant.
Yeah, you did.
That was not what I meant. I meant... Grant, you fill in the blanks.
I think you were attempting to say that you sometimes lack a filter between brain and mouth.
Filter.
Which is, that's what we love about you. That's what makes you the chezois.
That's what worries me because I can't listen back to this.
Yeah, but I do enjoy the fact that the only thing I took from the podcast last time was the fact that you said I'm pretty loose. So, end quote, print it. Send it to the papers.
No,
we are done.
No. So look, last week at the end I wanted to keep talking because one thing I don't know about you, and there's a few that we're going to, you know, discover, there's a few things, is your graduation story. And you said, I can't tell you now, and you've left me waiting week.
You teased the story. I didn't want to tell the story. I'd only just remembered it recently because, you know, how there's a lot of stuff going on at the moment, global pandemic. What are the things that can't happen because of 2020, right? And graduations are being cancelled all over the country.
Yes.
And this came to us because we're getting a lot of kids reach out and go, hey, man, just reaching year 12, we can't have a graduation. Can you just send me in the class like a shout-out video? I'm like, yeah, sure, no worries.
Yeah.
And then it sort of took me back to my graduation celebration, which I got to be honest, was a terrible night.
Why? I want to know why.
Well, I forgot how to say this. So the girlfriend that I was with at the time wouldn't do it. So she made
me. Wouldn't do it?
No, she didn't want to do it.
Oh, the graduation?
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah. I was a late bloomer, okay?
Right, okay. So she didn't want to go to the graduation with you?
No, but she made me do it then with her best friend.
Go to the graduate. Can you say it like that?
Well, she,
you're throwing
she
me
made me go to the graduation with her best friend.
Right.
So I'm like,
did she?
Oh, okay.
That's so weird.
Yes.
Who does what? Did so she go to your school?
Yeah. Yeah, she did.
And she didn't want
to. So you can't do it with me, but you have to do it with her, was basically the instruction. So I'm like, okay, so I can do I guess.
Were you close with the friend?
Ish, but not that close. I was.
Were you sad?
I was just there to pash the best friend, basically. Oh. You know what I mean?
So you didn't mind because you.
Well, no, not my girlfriend's best friend, but. This is getting awkward. So I end up going there and it was sort of weird and we did the Pride of Erin. We did all the training and she was a lovely girl, a really good fun person. Like I really enjoyed her company, but weird that my girlfriend wouldn't do it with me. So after a little while, I decided that, hey, we're all friends here. How about you two girls just kiss? And I was like,
what?
I just threw it out there.
It
was like a Hail Mary from nowhere. I don't know why I said it. We were in the middle of the dance floor and they were like.
And what, your girlfriend turned up who didn't want to go to graduation?
Yeah, she still came to watch but wouldn't dance with me. So anyway, they kissed on the dance floor and I was like, oh my God, this could be the greatest night of my life. How amazing is this?
Oh my gosh.
And then it sort of deteriorated a fair bit from then on. I ended up pretty much just looking after a lot of the girls on the night.
Why? I hate that though. I always used to do that.
You know, sometimes there's a bit of an angst
That's a lie.
There's a weird vibe where it just feels like it's a bit twitchy and a bit edgy.
And you had a lot of people in your year, didn't you?
Big school. Like we had 3,000 students in our school. Like it's
all
enormous.
At the graduation?
No, that's just the year 12s.
Oh, right.
But then was like. I just sensed the night was about to tip off. You know what I mean? Like it was about to
something
just
bad's gonna happen.
I could sense it in my gut. So I'm guard, making sure that all the girls looked after. Nothing bad's happening. No,
they're
dudes
all kissing
are being
each other.
You two stay there, locked lipped. At least I know where you are. And then the dudes, you know, make sure that no dudes are getting too creepy or handsy. And then it sort of, as the night went on, guards dropped. And then another girl who I sort of was just having to look after, she slipped around the back of the venue and she was gone for a few minutes.
Oh, was she by herself?
10 minutes maybe. And she runs back and she's crying. Like
what's happened?
I thought, oh my God, what's happened? I knew this would go wrong. I had this bad feeling and now I'm responsible for all these people and I've got to make sure she's okay. What's wrong? Tell me what happened. And she's like, And I said, look, I had to make sure that nothing serious had happened. And she said, look,
I got
into an intimate act with a boy.
What?
An intimate act, which not the full deal, not the full deal.
Oh, but she didn't want to.
No, she did.
Oh.
She did want to. She was a willing participant. Let me just point that out. Why am I telling this story?
I don't know. Tell it.
Let's just say she runs back around and then she has like a certain amount of stuff kind of just stuck in her hair.
Oh. Is that what I think it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, sperm.
Yeah.
Oh, gross. And she's crying.
I know, going, yeah, it's in me, it's on me, it's on my hair. Oh, get it off. She said he just did it and then he ran off.
Oh my God, that's horrific.
He got scared and embarrassed and ran away. And she was devoed that he just dumped and run.
Oh,
terrible
my
expression. I didn't mean that. But like she was like, I love him and he ran away.
Oh,
and I was like, this is turning out to be the worst night of my life. So I'm consoling her and
wiping her face.
Wiping
it's like something about
face.
Mary.
Oh my God, it was just.
So that's your graduation story.
Yeah.
That is not what I thought at all.
Well, it didn't have a happy ending.
Well,
for me.
Oh, yeah. For someone else it did. Yeah. God, well, my graduation story was so boring. I sat out during the day I made kind of a bit something about Mary. I made a big foil kind of collar and I put it around myself, sunbaking, to try and get a bit more reflection on me. And I fell asleep and got really badly sunburned. And then the whole night had to keep like patting my sweaty moustache because I was so sunburned.
Oh,
and my face is really
move.
Red. But that was, yeah.
Who'd you go to yours with?
My boyfriend at the time.
Oh, did you make him pash somewhere?
No. Actually, I didn't have to make him do anything because a few months later he had a threesome and a foursome with all of my girlfriends.
Scandalous. This is at the time.
But that's not for this episode.
Yeah.
No, I've got. We'll come back to that. I'm sure that will come out.
You better write that down then.
Well, I'm pretty good at keeping notes.
Okay.
Which is the reason why I thought.
You sure you don't want to get into that right now?
That's a long story. That, you know, left me with a lot of scars.
Okay, well, how about we open that Pandora's box next time?
Some juicy stuff that I've written down on my notes.
Look, 2020 has been obviously a terrible year. We all know this. It is obvious to all. But we came across quite a significant discovery in our own family.
Yeah,
The homeschooling situation was horrendous because
so hard.
We ain't teachers. We ain't even great students.
Oh, speak for yourself.
No, I'm speaking for the both of us here. It wasn't good.
Hard.
I remember one of our littlest one was saying, "Dad, can you please stop helping me? Every time you help me, you're making me dumber." So I was like, "How dare you critique me like that? I brought you into this world." But it was tough. But what we discovered.
And all our friends in Melbourne at the moment, you know, are still going through it. And hats off to them. I don't know how they're doing it. It was really difficult. The first couple of weeks we were all locked in a room basically because we thought before the pandemic hit that we should renovate our house.
Yep.
So we've taken off the back wall and we're all squeezed into a couple of bedrooms, and then the pandemic hit and we realized that we can't get any bits and pieces for the build. So we just kind of went with it with no back wall and, you know, missing windows and blocked up rooms. And we were all...
we kind of look like the house that's in The Wizard of Oz when it's in the middle of a tornado.
Yeah.
Keep riding, kids! It's time for maths!
It was pretty messy. And so we're sitting down. Well, you know, you were off filming Dancing with the Stars and then you had to come back this one particular week. And I'd been sitting with Sailor for 7 hours a day.
Mm.
And Sailor's in year three. And we were going over things and it was really frustrating because I kept saying to her, okay, this is how you do this. She's looking at me with a blank stare and she kept saying to me, "Mum, I'm really dumb. I just can't get it."
And it's the first time we'd ever heard her say that. And look,
it was heartbreaking because you don't want your child to say that.
No.
And I blamed myself at that point. So that's why I made you sit down with her and I said, "You do, you know, a day's worth of learning because it's really frustrating."
Okay, no worries. And then I will put in 100% effort. And then, and of course, let's just point it to everyone. No kid wants to do that amount of work from home.
No.
Home is not their school environment. They've got their toys around, there's television, there's distractions. They don't want their parent riding them. So every kid struggles. However, whilst I was sitting down, I noticed nothing going in.
Yeah.
No retention, no holding of information. And then no ability to repeat anything back to me. And I thought, what is going on here? We had to physically sit down and help her through every single tiny component of the homework.
Yeah.
We thought, this is not right. Is this what she's like in class?
Something's not right. And I asked her and I said, you know, "Are you struggling at school?" And she said, "I have to ask a lot of questions and a lot of the time I don't understand what they're saying." And so we thought...
But she's not a dumb kid.
She's not.
What is – this does not make sense.
And so we'd kind of booked her in to see a child psychologist because – which will come out in future podcasts. I've had a history of post-traumatic stress disorder and last year was quite traumatic, you know, for Sailor. We felt like she was showing a couple of signs that things were a bit difficult. So Grant – you hurt your back and we, both of us, had to be away because you still had to work during that, you know, kind of process. So Sailor, you know, had gone into year two. The schools had combined to a much bigger school She broke her arm while I was away helping you. She also had an anaphylactic attack.
Yeah, so a couple of major things in a little kid's life happened while the both of us weren't there.
Yeah, and it really affected her. And we saw a couple of changes in her. So say if I was going out to do some gardening, she would be really worried. She'd say, "Where are you going? What are you doing? Mum, don't die."
Like a full panic attack. Yeah. Even though we were just outside, she was terrified that we
were
going to leave.
Which is not like her at all. No. So we'd got her in to see a child psychologist.
Well, she was worried that you were going to die, but then we realised that every Disney film that she watches, the parents die at the start.
Yeah, that is true.
Like that's a common theme in Disney films. They obviously just hit the kids hard early, and the theme is so strong that the parents die, like Anna and Elsa, their folks die out to sea.
That is true. But I watched a lot of Disney films and I don't remember it having that impact on me. But for Sailor, it was.
She has taken it to heart.
She did. So we had this child psychologist and she'd been seeing her. She'd seen her twice. And then that particular week, you know, the week that we realised that there's a bit of a problem here, we took her in again and I was talking to the child psychologist about homeschooling and how difficult it is. And she started asking me a couple of questions about, you know, does Sailor do this? Does she find it difficult to make decisions in the morning? Does she seem like she daydreams a bit? And
all reasonably generic questions.
Absolutely.
We thought harmless.
Absolutely. And the more we kind of started talking, she said, "Have you ever thought that she could potentially have inattentive ADHD?" And my first thought was, Sailor, she's our good child. She's not hyperactive and naughty. That's Scout.
She's the non-broken one.
Yeah. And she explained to me that inattentive ADHD in girls often goes undiagnosed because they're really good students.
They're good people.
They're really sweet people.
Like, so they're thoughtful, they're kind, they kind of listen, they're not naughty in class.
No, and she never wants to get into trouble.
No.
And she's a real stickler for the truth and she's the sweetest kid alive.
See, I always associate ADHD with problematic behaviour.
Like, yes, that's a stereotype.
That little shitty, naughty kid at the park who's tearing around, pushing everyone over and hitting people and yelling at his parents. I go, that's ADHD.
Yeah.
I did not associate someone kind and meek and funny and
that's right,
like our Sailor.
And so we were kind of taken a bit aback by it, but I did say to the psychologist, I'm going to investigate this because I feel when I was at school – I feel I had ADHD. And she said, well, that's very interesting because it can be hereditary. And I said, and I feel like my dad had ADHD.
Definitely.
But we were undiagnosed. And so I wasn't like Sailor. I was very different.
So, and it was problematic for you at school, wasn't it?
I got the cane because I wouldn't sit still in church. And this kind of, this was a big period of self-discovery, I have to say.
And the nuns picked on you, didn't they?
They did. They did.
What was the worst thing?
They stood me in front of the school and asked everybody to make fun of me because I had told a lie about a teacher.
What was the lie?
I have to kind of paint the picture.
Oh, God.
I have to paint the – sorry, it's going off on a tangent here that I wasn't really expecting. But in year two, I left one school, a tiny, tiny little school, and I went to another school which was much bigger because we'd moved. And I know you're telling me to shorten it. I don't know how to shorten it. I think I was trying to impress the kids and there was a teacher who was coming from my old school and I was really worried because she didn't like me and I said, she's really, really fat and she will fall through the floorboards, okay?
How old were you?
Oh, I was like in the beginning of year three.
And was she really fat?
She was.
Okay. So you were telling
her. I still see her, so I would prefer, you know, not to go into it too much. But anyway, the nuns thought that was horrendous. They obviously didn't like me because I couldn't sit still and they put me up in front of the
class. So you would have been an aggravating student
I would have been.
For them in a tight, strict strictly controlled environment.
I couldn't sit still. Yeah.
You were Satan. Let's face it.
I wasn't, because I actually didn't like getting into trouble, but I always got into trouble.
So what did they do to you for saying that she was large? Well,
they wanted to teach me a lesson, so they stood me up on the stage and they made everybody in the class and, you know, and my year make fun of my physical, you know, looks, and then they said that nobody could sit with me for 4 weeks at lunchtime, and that caused
bullshit, brutal.
It is. And my mum was very upset because they called her and told her, and that's probably another story for another day.
Scarred you reckon?
Well, I won't send my kids to Catholic school.
Fair enough too.
So
that is so, God, the damage that could do to such a little personality that's still forming and shaping itself.
That's right. Anyway, back to Sailor, okay, which is what we were talking about today. So Sailor, you know, we started thinking, yes, there is a problem here. We should investigate this inattentive. We spoke to the school. They said, you should investigate it because kids do fall under the radar. So we – and
look, to cut a long story short, she's ADHD.
She is.
Right?
She's inattentive ADHD.
But let's talk about this because – I think it's way more common than we think.
Absolutely.
I was one of the people who were like, ADHD, it's sort of made up, it's overdiagnosed, it's like nut allergies, it's like, come on.
Yeah. Well,
you're having a lend.
People have said to me, you know, well, that was because you had her vaccinated.
Yeah, right.
That she's got ADHD, which I now... After this whole process, like I took her to Sydney, we did psychometric testing, I went to child development clinic and I pushed it and pushed it and pushed it, and we had her microbiome in her guts.
Because there's definitely a correlation between the health of your gut and the state of your mind.
Absolutely.
Whether that be depression, whether that be any amount of learning difficulties, there is a correlation there.
Absolutely. And we also... When the first point of call is to put your child on a stimulant medication, as a parent, that feels wrong.
You are a hard no.
Yeah.
A hard, hard no.
In fact, at the time I was going through a miscarriage, which is probably also another story for another day, but I...
We've got a lot of other days to tell a lot of other stories, apparently.
But I couldn't stop crying, and I researched everything and you know, there's a man called Gabor, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but Marte or...
Yeah.
Yeah. And I watched his TED Talks and I researched and
He's an expert in ADHD.
I became obsessive.
Yeah.
Which...
Is, funnily enough, characteristic,
yes,
of ADHD.
And so we took Sailor down. They did a medication testing with her on this day after we'd exhausted every other avenue, and the change in her was unbelievable. Like, not only could she concentrate for an hour instead of 15 minutes, she now was getting 88% accuracy compared to 50% before she had the stimulant. I did notice that she became very calm, and when the medication was wearing off, when we were driving back to Bathurst, she said to me, "Oh no, my brain's gone back to being really dumb." She said, "I was feeling like I was really grown up and really mature before."
She'd finally felt normal for the first time
in
years. So we thought, we're onto something here. It's clearly, we could tell the before, during and the after, how significant the turnaround was in her.
And her anxiety was quelled.
She wasn't afraid to leave your side.
No.
She wasn't terrified of us dying.
She could make decisions.
On her own.
So we trialed her on medication for a bit.
Which is a difficult decision for a parent to come to because the stigma, because of the opinions of everybody else.
Family, friends,
given
anyone.
Up on parenting. I know my parents, you know, my mum was particularly against it. You know, she was pretty...
I think people get scared because they don't understand. And so... My biggest thing at that point was I thought, I can't go through this with my daughter and not investigate, because the more I researched ADHD, I thought, I think I've got it.
And how much do you reckon you've paid for it in your life? Like, how much harder do you reckon it's made your life?
Well, I know how much harder it made my life because I followed through and I followed through. I did a questionnaire And I realised that things didn't... You're laughing because you've got the questionnaire.
I read the questionnaire the first time and I was like, oh my God, Shazzy, you've got it. This is you.
I know.
I couldn't believe it. I've got it here in front of me. I'll read a couple of the questions out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how often do you have trouble wrapping up the final details of a project once the challenging parts have been done?
And my response was never, because I just go, yeah, it's done.
Yeah. You think you're done, but it's never finished.
I know.
So the categories are never, rarely, sometimes, often, and very often, right? So yeah. I've gone very often for you.
Yeah, you did.
So you think you're done, but you don't do the finishing bits because you get easily bored.
I just look at the bigger picture, but that's what I thought. That was the old me.
When you have a task that requires a lot of thought,
yeah,
how often do you avoid or delay getting started?
All the time.
Like, say, something like tax, right, where you have zero interest.
Takes me an entire year to work up to that.
You told me you were working on my tax when we first started.
And I was.
No, you weren't.
Well, I was,
no,
but in my head.
You would hold the books open and that was it.
Don't pull that face, George.
For, I reckon, 2 years you did this, maybe three.
It was very taxing.
Oh, there she is. But because it didn't interest you, and tax doesn't interest anyone,
yep,
you physically could not start. Like, the gears of your brain could not engage to do it because it couldn't hold your attention.
Yeah. I'm the same with washing. I now know all my life I've had a real issue with washing. So, and I spoke to people after this and I'm like, can you do a load of washing, hang it out, dry it, fold it and put it away in one day? Is that a one-day job? George, is that a one-day job for you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
No. George, you don't like to just leave clothes wet in the machine for 2 days.
No, I never do that. I never, ever do that. No, I never. I hang them out. I wash and I hang out, but they might be hung out
for
a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's often.
Is that on the checklist?
How often do you fidget or squirm with your hands or feet when you have to sit down for a long time?
Can't sit down for a long time.
Okay, yeah, getting you to sit down for starters. In bed, your foot just never stops. It's just rubbing.
Yeah,
always has.
Don't even realise that I do that.
Yeah, and you got bouncy leg as well when you're sitting down watching television, constantly like a rabbit.
I'd notice I don't do it anymore because you used to put your hand on my knee and be like, "Stop it." Yeah.
In the movies, how often do you make careless mistakes when you have to work on a boring or difficult project?
No idea.
Okay, no idea. Careless mistakes when you're going to work on a difficult... What did you once do to my Telstra bill?
I was also pregnant.
Oh,
but yeah,
I
added
mistake.
A couple of extra zeros.
Mm-hmm.
I also overpaid the neighbour a couple of extra zeros when I was paying for...
How much did you pay Telstra for my phone bill?
$35,000.
Holy shit! You paid.
It was a $350 bill, and I accidentally paid them $35,000.
Oh, why don't I give them $350,000 then?
Because we don't have that.
We didn't have $35,000.
No, well, we did, because I was supposed to pay the race team next.
We had a little bit of sponsorship that had come from a sponsor, Just Cuts, who have been with me for like 20 years, that we had to divert straight to the race team, right? So there's this tiny little window where it just passes through your bank account.
Yeah.
We didn't have that kind of money sitting around, right? Yeah. But that day we did. And that was the day that Shezzy paid Telstra $35,000.
Just very happy with the phone bill, obviously.
And I love it when I tried to get it back and they said, oh, you can just work it off.
You go, no, I'm not taking this in lieu.
No.
Well, because, you know, legally, this is the problem if you overpay someone. They don't have to pay you that money back. That is your mistake. It's up to them whether they feel like they have the goodwill or not and want to do it. So we're like, please pay us back.
And the woman that I spoke to, Baraka, I think her name was, from, I don't know,
United
somewhere
States
overseas.
United States of America? Was he the president?
Yeah. No, it was, she had a unusual accent, even though she said she was in Blacktown. When I asked if I could call back, I don't think it was Blacktown, she didn't understand how desperate I was to get that money back.
Has she not seen how many zeros were on the end of that bill?
Maybe she thought we were rich. I don't know. But yes, okay, I get that.
All right, so there we go. Let's go often for that one.
Okay. How about I'll read some? Look, because I did answer most of these as being, you know,
well, number nine. No, number nine's a good one.
How often do you have difficulty concentrating on what people say to you, even when they are speaking to you directly?
You did this yesterday. I might just point this out.
Well, it's hard because now I recognize that I have ADHD. And so I see these things happening. And so, yes, I do acknowledge that I often will finish somebody's sentences. If they're talking too slow, I will do that. But it's not out of rudeness, George. It's just...
You do that to my sentences, though. But you take it off in a completely different direction. That's, you don't finish it off with what I was going to say. It just becomes this kind of weird fairy tale that you just make up for the end of my yarn.
Great.
Which I'm used to, which is fine. But like you will you will be chatting, someone will be chatting to you, like looking in the eye, telling you this heartfelt story, and you'll just straight over the top just turn a hard right into another completely different direction. And I've got to go, Shez,
can I just justify that? Because if it's a heartfelt story, usually I'm invested. Because you have to admit, I've got a very large heart, which often gets me into a lot of trouble. When my empathy, which is in overdrive, goes into overdrive, then I can listen to somebody. You'll be saying, Shez, you've been listening to this person for 3 hours now.
That's true.
If it's a topic that I'm not interested in, I don't even Well, I don't think like that. Look, I didn't realise that I was doing it. So all my life, all of these things, like how often do you interrupt others when they're busy? How often do you have difficulty waiting your turn in situations? I have had difficulty with those things all my life. So, and I thought I better look into this. I better look into this because I've sent my daughter down and we're investigating it for her and it's made a big change. So I thought I need to go and see a psychiatrist and I told him, you know, things that I do and he read through my report. He read through all my childhood, like every single report
which
from
said
that I was extremely intelligent. Well, I may have put the extremely in there. But
He is making up sentences again.
Yeah, it's coming back in.
That I would be smart if I could just listen and pay attention and stop climbing on desks. And stop distracting everybody else.
You're a desk climber?
I was a desk climber. Wow. I actually was a curtain climber a tree climber. Yeah, I know. Well, I had so much energy.
No wonder they hated you in there. Just sit on your bloody desk.
I couldn't sit on my bottom on the floor. Yeah.
So it has been a monumental breakthrough in our house that we are absolutely, absolutely blessed to have discovered. And it's only because of COVID that we have. So we're so thankful that we found a silver lining in all this shit. Because you are a completely different human being.
Well,
and all for the better. Because,
am I?
Because you are.
For 4 weeks, they put me on medication for it.
And you?
And I became.
Transformed.
I became super Shezzy.
Do you know for the first time in your life you shut cupboards?
Yeah, I know.
Do you know, and this is a common trait with ADHD. An ADHD person will just go into the kitchen and will just open stuff up. And they don't see that they're still open. They've done the job. They've grabbed the cup. Blah, 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 they just leave it.
Yeah.
So I've for years just gone around and all I do all day is just close cupboards and drawers.
And for years I've denied that it was me.
Yeah. I don't know. There was two of us living in this apartment. How it couldn't be you if it wasn't me?
I'm like, that wasn't me. I don't remember doing that.
Yeah.
But I actually did because, yes, I remember when they put me on the medication, one of the things when I unpacked a dishwasher, or the dishwasher, the only dishwasher that we have, I would close the cupboards. But I had more time. I would never speed driving, which I don't
this
do.
This is after being diagnosed?
After being diagnosed.
And being, taking medication?
After starting the medication, I became really calm.
Organised?
Like, annoyingly calm, actually.
Yeah.
But I didn't really notice the difference. It's just that I had so much more time and I was so much more productive.
It's
crazy.
I cannot believe the difference is astonishing.
Yeah.
Like, I expected maybe a slight sort of change, but it is stratospheric.
Yeah.
How different you
stratospheric.
Are.
Stratospheric.
Yeah, it's enormous.
Word.
Because your calming influence just transformed the house. And I think one of the big reasons that Sailor has now fallen into a much more pleasant state and place is because you're no longer anxious. You're no longer just going around in circles, starting jobs, not finishing them, running late, hurrying the kids out the door, stressed because we're now 15 minutes late. None of that's happening anymore. So there.
Well, it wasn't, but we did have to stop the medication because we wanted to try again for a baby.
Which is good because we can see the before and after and before and after again.
And so baby brain, ADHD, stopping medication, I'm all over the place. Like it's way worse now, but I'm more accepting because my new name is Cheryl Zenya. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it? Is it really?
It is. Well, so I'm very calm.
Just start a podcast in the health and life improvement category.
No thanks. No thanks. But it was really interesting. It was.
That's the only bloody good thing that's happened in 2020.
Yeah. Oh,
as harrowing as it is, when you're having a brain scan on your child where they put electrodes on them to sort of see what parts of the brain fire and don't fire and activate so you can accurately understand whether it's ADHD, whether it's other mental health issues or whether it's
really interesting.
Yeah, we're so glad that we've done this because Sailor was right at the point of about to give up completely on her own intellect and schooling.
And self-esteem.
And self-esteem. She was at the point where she had arrived that she'd realized that I can't do this. I'm not a smart person.
I'm different.
I just can't do what these other kids can do. So I'm not going to do it. Like she was that close to just letting go of her education and just throwing her hands in the air. And we just caught it.
Yeah.
You know, think of how hard her life could have been
I lived it.
Could be. Yeah, you did.
I lived it.
Exactly.
Everything I did was the hard way. People used to say to me, why would you do it that way? That's the hard way.
The lady at Telstra was like, why did you do it that way?
But you know what? One thing that I have learned in all the research that I've done is that ADHD is not a disability. ADHD for me is my superpower. Mm-hmm. And I heard that on a podcast and I love it and I use it all the time because now I know what it is and I recognize it and I know what things I struggle with and what things I need help with. I'm able to utilize my strengths. Like if something needs to be researched and it needs – like you need to know everything about it, I can do
it. You will turn every stone. Yep.
And if there's a really bad situation where – you're full of adrenaline, something, you know, really dangerous has happened or there's a big accident or something, you will not find a clearer head person than me.
Yeah, you won't. The ADHD kids and people are not paralyzed in those moments.
No. I'm very quick acting and for some reason throughout my life I now recognize that very serious things have happened and I've seen very serious things throughout my life, which has, you know, caused me – it's been a long journey to learn about post-traumatic stress disorder and having that treated.
However, post-traumatic stress from?
What did I have it from?
Yeah, you don't have to go into detail, but just because when you say, I got PTSD, people go, I wonder what from. What from?
There was a combination of things. So when I was 19, the first thing that happened when I was 19, I was working as a journo out on the road and I was the first person to turn up to a car accident and a baby had been lost. Lost out through the car window.
Oh, gosh.
Had been thrown out the car window. And so I was the first person there. There was no ambulance. There was nothing. It was horrific. 19, still at uni, still, you know, finding your feet. And I found the baby.
Oh, God.
At that time, you know, I wasn't the type of person who would cry and I just went into full serious mode. You know, I helped when the first responders arrived. You know, I told them where the baby was and I helped the people who were in the car and it was all very traumatic. And they said to me, you're going to need counselling for this. Mm-hmm. But, and I get goosebumps when I think about it, but I was trying to prove myself in a difficult world and I was trying to act like I was really tough and I said I didn't need it.
When you're young, we're all faking it till we make it. You know what I mean? We're pretending we're good journos or that we're all good, we're fine.
Yeah. So I went home and cried for 3 days. Every time I closed my eyes, I would see this baby. and I couldn't talk about it. So what I did was I used to have this thing where I'd say I'll just file it away. And so that was one thing I filed away. And I thought I dealt with it. I actually kind of had forgotten about it. And then when we first met, I mean, we didn't even talk about this last week and I don't want to go into too much detail, but when we first met and we went to a monster truck event 4 weeks before you broke your back,
yeah.
I was in a jet van explosion and I thought I'd died. So I was standing behind a jet van and...
Let me explain. A jet van is so you go to these shows where the monster trucks are. There's a van that has a plane engine in the back of it, like a, and it shoots like a 50-foot flame at the back, like a proper blue, strong jet flame. Like it'll incinerate you in seconds.
Yeah.
Shezzy was walking behind it when the guy...
He started up
early. Stupidly started it up... Indoors, like he hadn't gone out into the arena yet.
Rod Laver Arena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one had cleared the area or anything.
Well, they'd cleared you and the drivers, but they'd just kind of forgotten about me.
And you were there. And then,
I was carrying your helmet and he started it up and I was engulfed in flames. So all my hair got burnt. I got thrown through the air. I actually landed on one of those barricades that are filled with water. You know, they're very heavy and I landed on it and bent my hip and I landed also with a mechanic kind of person and I couldn't hear. What I didn't realise that I'd lost all my eyebrows or my eyelashes. And at that point I thought the entire stadium, I thought everyone was dead. And so, again, I've come kind of to and realised that, no, the whole parade's happening. Grant's out doing his bits and pieces in the monster truck and everybody's kind of cheering. And meanwhile, I'm kind of pulling out bits of my hair and the mechanic said to me, you know, are you okay? I think you're badly burnt. Luckily, I had a wool jumper on. But where the jumper had lifted up at my back, I was scalded and, again, tried to play it down because there's lots of people around and I didn't realise I thought I'd died.
You can disassociate very well. You have ability to remove yourself from the situation and pretend it's not happening. Like I've seen you do that in times of intense trauma.
But in the past.
Yeah, in the
past. So that was another thing that I filed down and so...
But if you don't go back and clear them, they sit in there. They sit in there and they come out in other ways.
That's right. And so then the next thing, I had an anaphylactic attack and you had to take me to hospital. I had 2 collapsed lungs and I was dying. We pulled up. They
I
cut
remember
my
that frantic drive to the airport, to the hospital, sorry, and, yeah, just overtaking cars on the wrong side of the road. And
my sister on
hearing
the,
you run out of air.
Just, my sister on the phone saying she's choking like shit. I was visualising that I was underwater. All my lips were all swollen. My tongue was swollen. I couldn't breathe. I was visualising that I was underwater breathing through a straw. But I was actually throwing up and it was, you know, I'm allergic to sulfur as it turns out. And so should have died. Mm. Had 2% oxygen when we pulled up at hospital. They cut my top off, put the paddles on me, gave me a shot of adrenaline. Should have died again. You know what? Filed that away.
Yeah.
Because yeah, right. I always wanted...
And we're not saying these stories to sound dramatic. We've had some medical shit happen in our life. And
you know what? If I would have had ADHD, if I would have had that diagnosed when I was young, I would have been a doctor. That's what I reckon.
Yeah, you probably would have because you love medicine. Yeah. We share something similar about our early days as journos. I was 20. Very similar story. The only journos still in the newsroom.
Yeah.
Everyone else is out on their stories. There's an accident on the road, so I go there with the cameraman. It's my first real serious story.
Yeah.
I get there. It's a car accident and a guy was driving a convertible, a guy who I'd interviewed only the week before. And a car, you know, those trucks that carry houses in the back, the wide loads.
Yes.
It had come round. It was the house was wide. It was sort of partway into the oncoming lane and old mate comes around in the convertible and just decapitated. So just his head was exploded.
So they sent you.
So I'm there. I rock up with the cameraman and I'm looking over the car and there's bits of body everywhere.
Oh, my
gosh. There's just a torso sitting in the driver's seat.
Goodness.
which is
so they hadn't cleared it yet.
No, it was.
This is what people, I guess, don't understand when you're working in country newsrooms.
You're a jack of all trades.
Yeah,
which is the great way to start because you get a great understanding. But I wasn't equipped to see that shit.
No,
there were bits of brain everywhere. It was hectic. And same deal. Police are often, they're at least given the ability and the option.
Yep.
To have
counselling
and to unplug and sort of just work through the things that they've done and dealt with. And they see a lot more than we do as journos, but we didn't get that. We don't get that. Yeah. We just sent out the story. And the next story you go to is a flower show. You know what I mean? Like you go from decapitation to a cat up a tree.
Yeah.
And same deal. I just thought, wow.
How did you deal with that?
I didn't. Right. No, I didn't at all. You just pass it off as just another day. But then you get to points in your life when, like there was a period when we were doing Sunrise, and I think one of the reasons why I ran out of steam was I remember doing three national disasters back to back. Like we had...
I was pregnant with Sailor, we have to also say. Like, remember?
Yep.
So we had the Brisbane floods.
Cyclone.
Yep.
So I was in the middle of the eye of the cyclone. Then the Brisbane floods, and then I think we went then straight to Christchurch for the earthquake, and we were the first media in Christchurch, and so we were rushed straight in there, and the military was just closing off the CBD of Christchurch, and so I snuck in, so I stayed in there with the cameraman and hiding behind vehicles in all the rubble in the buildings, just so we weren't kicked out, so we could take pictures and send the video back to Australia, broadcast to the world to get world aid to help them out because they were in a really bad way. So we were just hiding in the devastation of the CBD, unable to get out because we wouldn't be able to get back in. And after you start doing the people losing their houses in the cyclones and the devastation for
them.
Brisbane floods was just a big national story. We were stuck in the floods and we were wading in waist deep sewerage.
Really bad. And then remember that man from the council came to see us and he said, this is actually dangerous. There are people who are deceased who are in these floodwaters and there's animals and there's septic. And I was there 7 months pregnant, wading through with the scripts, and he sent me home. He said it was an occupational health and safety risk.
I reckon it just always just have a very heavy toll after that. You know, they're telling a lot of stories of humanity, but people are hurting, and we're both empaths.
Yeah,
so that just kind of just gets you just get really weighed down with
and
it.
We're sleeping in a car,
it was a hectic period, and that's when I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. I was wiped.
And then the tsunami happened in Japan, remember? God, and they wanted you to go. And we just can't do it.
I think that's enough weather reporting.
Yeah.
Take me back to just...
to sunny.
Pointing its temperatures on a green screen.
Yeah. But it does take its toll on you. So did that old story from when you were a journo, did that... Because that's the first time I've ever heard you say that. Did that bubble up somewhere or...
No, I think you just gear yourself up to go, well, if this is my chosen career, then this is the collateral damage that you're going to have to witness and take on along the way. And so that's okay. And then you just sort of grin and bear it.
I didn't have that. So I just kind of, acted like everything was all good and then had quite a traumatic birth with Sailor and it all just came flooding back. Didn't realise that I had postnatal anxiety after that and that's when every time I would go to sleep I would picture myself dying and I would die if I was asleep in my dreams.
Not wake up right before it.
Yeah, I would die.
And the birth of Sailor was the tipping point, wasn't it?
It was,
It was sort of where it all came out.
Yeah.
And then what was life like after that?
Oh, well, I had to seek treatment for it, didn't I? Because it was quite serious. And I didn't understand it at that point and I couldn't talk about it. I couldn't articulate how I felt about it because my stories were all jumbled. And as I learnt more about post-traumatic stress disorder, that's what people do to protect themselves. And
just to survive and just to function, you had to pretend it doesn't exist. I really first saw the disassociation in you and you just became a different person. You just pretended everything wasn't happening.
And you know, in all the research that I've done now on ADHD, a lot of people who are left undiagnosed as children and they can be more susceptible to develop post-traumatic stress disorder. So there you go. It's something to write home about. So well, this just got real heavy.
It did. Well, it's been a heavy podcast, to be honest.
It has, yeah.
Well, quick, let's look at our notes and find something light.
No, I think we need to finish and leave it there.
Because it's, yeah, look, I suppose ADHD can be easily written off, and I think people's lives could be so different with just a little bit of acknowledgement, the slightest little bit of treatment. Maybe even just having a label on it can just make you handle your own situation a little bit easier.
How many people do we recognize now?
Like so many.
We've got friends. I mean, I must admit, when I told everybody, and even my doctor, I said, I've been diagnosed with adult ADHD, and they're like,
is it like, every friend that we ever told?
Yeah. Why'd it take so long?
Everyone's like, yeah, of course you are. Yeah. God, we do know you, you know. But that's also people's favourite aspect of your personality.
It's my superpower.
Is the madness, is the manicness, is the craziness, is the jumping from here to there to everywhere.
Yeah, so, that's what I've tried to instil in Sailor as well. But it doesn't help when...
But some of the most successful people in the world and some of the most creative and some of the most successful in business can be driven by this crazy, amazing motor that is ADHD. So it can be a blessing, but it can be absolute torture if you just don't know what it is.
Yeah. And there's so many... I listen to so many podcasts.
If you're unsure, if your kids are struggling, just do a little bit of research, couple of podcasts. What's old mate's name again?
Gabor Mate.
Good luck googling that. Give it a shot.
He talks about how trauma in kids can lead to ADHD symptoms.
That there is a correlation.
Yeah, there is a correlation.
The good news is it can make life so much. Don't be afraid of a diagnosis, because we also know a lot of people who are afraid that their kid might have it, because that could reflect badly on them.
But it doesn't.
No one wants to be the parent going, oh, my kid's got ADHD and I'm going to put him on medication, because there's so much stigma.
There is.
However, it has transformed our child. Sailor is now a dream in class.
Yeah.
The teachers can't believe she's jumped a year and a half in
reading,
in skill level and ability and in her education in just a couple of months.
Yeah. So it's amazing.
She's gone from being slipping to the bottom to now towards the top.
And her confidence.
Yeah.
Her confidence is at an all-time high, and it's spectacular to see.
So COVID.
Thank you.
This is the only time I'm ever going to say this, but thank you, because I think you've saved our family in a major way by just allowing us to recognise the diagnosis of ADHD.
Oh, that's a bit sweet. That's nice.
And what do we like to say, George, at times like these as we finish off our podcast? You coined this term last week, and I think it should be our thing from now on.
It is always very important, guys, to be true.
Don't make me laugh too much or I might wet myself.
Oh, be true. I love it.
That's gorgeous.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Yeah, bye.
It's All True, the podcast with Grant and Shezzy Denyer.
Bye-bye.